David,
Gay Parents, Mission, and Perspective. David was raised between two gay parents and two heterosexual parents. Despite difficulties in his teens, David went on to serve an LDS mission, and he remains an active member holding a good relationship with all of his parents. This is his story.
Hi there.
Hey, David.
How are you doing, Jay?
Good, how are you?
Doing well.
So since we're going to be recording here, you might want to turn your phone on do not disturb mode, just so nobody interrupts this session here.
Yeah, for sure. Hang on just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on do not disturb.
All right, cool. Well, David, I'm excited to have you on.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, you have an interesting story here. Part of it, it's already going to be here on the intro for those that are listening all the way through. But let's just dive right into it. Tell us about yourself.
So, I am currently studying public policy and administration at BYU Idaho. I served a mission in Ukraine, speaking Russian. I've been married a couple of years. I don't know, pretty close to graduating. That's pretty exciting.
Nice. So are you like in your mid-20s then, I'm assuming?
Yeah. So I'm 25.
Okay. Cool. You've been married already. Dang, how did that happen so quick?
So right around when 2020 came around, I met my wife just before the pandemic started, in April, right before she graduated. So I was actually a freshman when I met my wife. She's a couple years older than me. But
nice. You are from BYU, man. Or I guess you got yourself a cougar at least.
Yep. So I dated her for about a year and a half before we got married. But yeah, no, life's been good. She's a teacher. She teaches culinary classes at one of the high schools nearby.
Oh, dang. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, so for those that I don't know, maybe just skip through the intro. Just want to let them know. So your story is going to be about the being raised by gay parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now when I say that, were you like adopted?
So, my story starts. So, my dad was married to my mom. For a couple of years before. I think that my mom knew that at one point he had been out of the closet because he had been in like a gay relationship before he joined the church. But he joined the church, he served his mission in Colombia, and then when he came back, he married my mom. They were married for about 4 years, and then they were divorced when my dad decided that he wanted to I guess it's not come out of the closet because he was already out of the closet, but pursue that aspect of his life again. They were divorced when I was about 2.5, 3 years old, right after my sister was born. And so from the get-go, my parents have had 50-50 custody. So I've spent 50% of my time with my mother and 50% of the time with my dad. And his partner.
Wow, that's interesting. I'm like processing it. That's that's wild. So, because I just have so many questions just for your dad. I wish I could get him on here. he was like faithful. I'm assuming they got married in the temple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They got married in the Seattle, Washington temple.
And then the dude was like, you know what? I think I like dick more. Just kind of bailed out, right? I guess for whoever's listening, that might be insensitive. Yeah, so he
Yeah,
just.
he's talked to me about it a lot. He said that essentially what was difficult for him was the way that he saw my mom was is like his best friend ever, but he just was not I don't know, like sexually attracted to my mother, which, you know, it's kind of a big deal. So
Yeah, so are they still friends? Like, are they still like, was she cool about it?
no.
I mean, no.
So I mean, you know, that's kind of rough. Like you're I mean, I understand it from both perspectives. You know, it's a messy situation all around because I mean, on the one hand, my dad feels like he's living a lie, you know, he's living
Yeah.
a lifestyle that he doesn't feel like he can live. And then my mother, she, you know, has, you know, committed herself to a guy and has two kids, and he wants to leave and do his own thing. And so that was really hard for her. I think that I don't know. I think that they're both good people. My mom especially, I really respect her. She never really until I became an adult, really, she never really she tried to always be very cordial and supportive of my relationship with my dad. But they do not get along and never have from what I remember.
Really? So it
Yeah,
was just like, yeah. I mean, I can't. Yeah, it'd be interesting to just kind of talk to both. Like, I can't imagine the feeling there. Yeah,
yeah.
definitely a lot of negative feelings there.
No, for sure. And
So,
I mean it. I think the hard part is that it's one of those like, you know, no-win situations there. And that it, I think that is largely why it was so hard for both of them is like, you know, divorces, especially whenever there's kids involved, are always going to be messy, regardless of the circumstances, but.
yeah, for sure. So you're young. I bet you don't even remember them being together then, right? I mean,
I remember a little bit, but I mean, you know, I was like three.
yeah. So most of your life, it's been growing up between the two households. Now, did your mom get remarried fairly quickly?
Yeah, she did. She got remarried to my stepdad fairly quickly, and he's
Yeah.
been a good father figure in my life as well.
And then what about your dad? Did he get a
Yeah.
partner? Yeah.
So he dated around. So he's married currently to his partner of 20 years. They actually had their 20-year like anniversary. They had like a recommitment ceremony they did last year. And yeah, they're very happy.
Wow. So you've known this other, your I guess he'd be also your stepdad for 20 years then.
Yeah, no, I have. And I would also consider him a father figure in my life. So I've had three father figures, really, familial wise, you know.
Yeah. That's super interesting. And for those listening, you're probably judging me as an immature interviewer sometimes, but it's just how it
Yeah.
goes. So we like Your dad, was he very supportive of your mom taking you to church and things like that, or was he like ever opposed to
It's interesting. I want to say he's been neutral, but at the same time, I mean, I think that he is slightly against it. And here's what I'll say. So, pretty much my whole life, he's been very much like, you know, you need to do what you believe in, and you need to be able to, like, you know, I want you to be able to pursue anything that your heart wants to pursue. And so he's been very supportive that way. That said, I know when I was like nine, my parents, so my mom and my stepdad, sorry, I'm gonna have to remember when I say parents, it refers to two different people. Hang on.
Yeah.
So, they were getting sealed. And at that point I had some of my half brothers. I consider them just normal siblings, but you know. So they were getting sealed in the Salt Lake Temple, and my dad, I think that was really the first time that he kind of put his foot down, and he's like, he said that my sister and I were not going to be sealed to my stepdad. So that was kind of one of those things where it kind of felt like he, and I mean, I understand where he was coming from, but so there's been times like that, or when I was trying to go on my mission, I know there were some things where he was kind of like, well, maybe you should join the Peace Corps or something like that instead. And I mean, you know, when push came to shove, though, I was like, Dad, I really want to do this. He was supportive. And we talked while I was on my mission. I called him on Christmas and Mother's Day. And, you know, so I don't know. I'm really grateful for him. And I feel like he hasn't been a roadblock or pulled me back. He's been supportive for the most part. But I mean, I would also be probably a little bit disingenuous if I didn't say that, you know, he has tried to pull me away from the church a couple times in my life.
So I mean, I find it interesting that he opposed the sealing aspect. Do you think, I mean, did you end up getting sealed to your stepdad and your mom?
No, I mean, I'm still si so technically I don't need to, which is the reason why I don't. I'm sealed to my parents, so I'm sealed to my mom and my dad. And I mean, so I'm still sealed to my mom and I'm sealed to my stepdad through my mom. So, I mean, it would be kind of redundant to do it anyways.
Well,
But
I just find it interesting that he would oppose to it. I mean, I feel like if, unless he somewhat still kind of believed it, he just didn't want to go along with it, you know? Because if I didn't believe it, and you know, my kids wanted to get sold to somebody else, I'd be like, well, go ahead. It's just bullshit anyways, you know?
yeah, and I mean, I could understand that, but I also think that there's an aspect of like the symbolism behind it, you know? Like, because
Yes,
in my
that
head,
too.
I could see like for like a 9-year-old, you know, you could be like, wow, like, you know, religiously speaking, he could just completely shut me out of his life, you know? And I can understand from his perspective that maybe that was kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So, so tell us a little bit about what it was like just going back and forth between, your mom and your dad. And also, I gotta ask this because you said, I know you said you called your dad on Mother's Day, and I mean, it makes sense, right? Because you have a chance to call home. But like in this situation though, is your dad, is he the pitcher or the catcher in that relationship?
I don't know. I would definitely say I'm pretty sure he's the more masculine of the two. I mean, my dad's an OBGYN, so he's a doctor. My stepdad in that relationship, he does a lot with film and art. And so I don't know. I don't really know. I don't ask him those kinds of
I
questions.
mean, yeah, I thought you would. I just that's what I was trying to ask, is like, who's more masculine? I just got to be funny with it.
I
So,
mean, I would say that both of them are masculine men. But like, I would say that my dad is probably the more masculine of the two, if I had to pick. And I think they'd probably feel comfortable with me saying that.
So, so yeah, what was it like? I mean, was it like you're spending 4 days with your mom, 3 days with your dad, or how'd that rotation go?
Yeah, so the way that it worked when we lived in the same state. Oh, I guess when they lived in the same state, I would spend like a week with, so during summers, it'd be like a week with mom, a week with dad. And then when school came around, it was week with mom, weekend with dad, if that makes sense. And then as soon as he moved, because he ended up moving to go to medical school, what would happen is I'd spend like, you know, the school year with my mom, and then I'd go visit my dad during the summers, and I'd spend a couple months there. And then I'd go visit him alternating Thanksgiving and Christmas each year.
And I wanted to point this out. This just came to my head as we were talking. So your dad leaves your mom because he likes, you know, men more. But then he goes and he pursues a career as an OBGYN. It's just
it's kind of weird. And he wasn't in medical school when they got divorced. He was actually a civil engineer at the time.
That's been everything.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things, yeah. So he was a civil engineer, and I guess he just hated the work, he hated the career, and he had kind of told himself that he couldn't do medical school, but he turned his life around, and he decided to go get his prereqs done, and now he's an OBGYN. I mean, he was, you know, a bit older than most of the people who were going into the program, but that didn't matter to him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, I think that's cool that he pursued that and went through with it.
Yeah, actually, no, inspirational. Me too.
So growing up though, you know, you're going back and forth, and your mom, she's active in the church, right?
Yeah.
So were you like involved with scouts and all that type of stuff growing up then?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I missed out on a lot of things because I'd be gone during the summer. So I didn't go on all the scout camps. I didn't go like to track. I didn't do like high adventure very often. But I was involved with everything, and I got to, you know, be a part of scouts. I did end up getting my Eagle Scout. Not that it matters anymore.
How'd that play out though? Because I don't know if this is my memory is actually serving me, but I thought I remembered something when I was in Weebelows. No, I don't think I made it to Weebelows, but when I was like in Cub Scouts, you're not supposed to like be gay, right? Isn't that a thing?
Well, I'm not gay. I'm straight.
No, I know, but hearing that type of language and then going to church, you know, and they talk down on gays, was it weird going and seeing your dad and being like, yo dad, like you're not, I mean, as a little kid, were you ever like, dad, you're not living right?
I think that a lot of church members, and I mean, like, you know, I love my home ward. I think that a lot of them were very sensitive to my situation. I honestly can't remember a single time when like anybody like started bashing on gay people. I mean, like, obviously when I was a teenager, that was like pretty common to like, you know, call a dude a fag or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the leaders would get after young men who did that. And I mean, like, I didn't get called that, but that like, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of talk about that going on at the time. And I think that it's kind of interesting because when this was all happening and I was a youth in the church, there really weren't, I mean, there probably were, but there weren't a lot of other people who like knew an LGBT person or had an LGBT person in their family.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of people just like, they're like, oh yeah, that's the kid who has gay dads, you know? And so they were really careful about like what they said around me.
That's actually wholesome, you know, to know that they,
Yeah, no, I had a good experience. And I mean, like, I'm not gay, so maybe it's just because I wasn't as sensitive to it, but I can't remember any time that anybody badmouthed my dad. Actually, I would say this, there was a time when I was a teenager, and I was super mad at the situation, like with my dad and my mom, and I felt like I was getting pulled in two different directions all the time. And
why was that?
Well, I mean, like when I was a teenager and I was very like, you know, influenced, I felt like my mom was trying to like get me to be, you know, a little bit more of an Orthodox LDS person, and my dad was like, no, you need to realize that these are just beliefs, and, you know, you need to, so he's a Zen Buddhist. And so he was like pulling me that direction and trying to get me to, you know, break the law of chastity and break the word of wisdom and stuff like that. And it weighed a lot on me because I really wanted to be my own person, but it kind of felt like I was just constantly being pulled in two directions. And that happened more when I was a teenager. When I was younger, I think they were a little bit more respectful of that. And now that I'm an adult, they're significantly more respectful of, because, you know, when you're an adult, you control the relationship a little bit more because it's like, oh, you're going to be mean to me and my beliefs. Okay, I guess we're not going to talk for a while, you know. Where was I going with that?
Yeah, sorry, I was interrupted either. But...
Oh, it's okay. I remember. So I was going to my bishop and I was asking him, I was like, you know, like, I don't really know, like, how I feel about my relationship with my dad. And I was like having a bunch of questions and my bishop basically said, he's like, you know, like, I get where you're coming from and I get why you're feeling the way that you are. He goes, but the scriptures say to honor your father and your mother. And he goes, and your dad's your dad. And he goes, and you need to love him and you need to have him be part of your life. He's like, and that doesn't mean that you need to, like, you know, if he's being toxic or something, that you need to, like, you know, be okay with that. But he's like, but you need to forgive him and love him. And, you know, and he goes, and my dad, because his parents were divorced as well when he was a kid, he's like, you know, I hated my dad when I was your age. And he goes, and I kind of shooed him away. And he goes, when I was 21 on my mission, he died. He goes, and I always, he's like, to this day, I regret the fact that I didn't spend more time with my dad. He goes, and so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you don't need to have a relationship with your dad. So that bishop, he was really good. And I actually probably saved the relationship a little bit. Wow. But yeah, I actually think that, and I mean, like this, and I mean, I understand that there's people who've had bad, like a bad relationship with the church, especially being LGBT, but I really do think that the church helped me to understand love and to be there for my dad and to have him be part of my life more than if I hadn't been in the church, to be totally honest. Well, then there's, you know,
yeah,
if I wasn't in the church, then it wouldn't be a problem, I guess, but it's interesting to think about.
Well, I don't know, because depending on where you grew up, it could have been a
problem. Yeah, I mean, right? I could be Southern Baptist or something, you know.
Yeah, and well, not just could that. Be just... I mean, like for example, at school, did anybody find out that your dad was gay when you were in school?
Yeah, I told people pretty frequently,
and they didn't like make fun of you, because I feel like that would have been like the easiest target as a bully, you know, just to go and.
I don't think. Well. I mean, like, I don't think that I ever got made fun of for my dad being gay, which is kind of weird. I mean, I don't know.
Huh.
I told people, though. I mean, I didn't really make it a secret, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
I guess they couldn't come up with any nicknames for me because my dad was gay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might have brought more respect, the fact that you're just like, yeah, my dad's gay. And they're just like, what?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it wasn't something anybody ever found out. It was something I was pretty open about, so.
Yeah. So, going back to what you said, though, about your how your bishop kind of saved that relationship. So, were you going more towards your mom, then, in that belief?
It's interesting. So, at the time, I'd say, it's kind of hard to say, because I think I was, like, 14 when I had that conversation with my bishop, and I've been back and forth a bit when I was a teenager, like, and I mean, obviously it's because I was getting pulled two very different directions, but at the time, yeah, I'd say I was, when I was 14, I was trying to be more in the church. It wasn't really until I was like 16-17 that I started to go the other direction. And it wasn't really so much that I was trying to go more in my dad's direction. It was just more that, you know, I didn't really want to serve a mission at the time. I didn't want to go to church every Sunday. I don't know. I wanted to live with my girlfriend, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. And that makes sense. So, like, at what point then did you feel like you gained a testimony of the church to the point where you're like, yeah, I actually do want to serve a mission. I don't want to live with my girlfriend and, you know,
break away. You know what? It was my senior year of high school. And it was actually a girl. And believe it or not, I didn't, like, you know, ever, like, romantically pursue this girl or anything. But I was in an art class. And there was this girl who was in my class. And I'd never seen her before, but she was just super happy, super smiley all the time. I couldn't figure out why. And anyways, I ended up hanging out with her and getting to know her. And the more that I figured out more about her, she was living all of the For Strength for Youth standards, and not just like, you know, because she wanted to be a good Molly Mormon, but because she legitimately wanted to be a good person. And I saw like all the ways that I felt like her having a commitment to the church and to God was helping her. And I saw her just so happy and so genuine. And I was like, I want to be happy and I want to be genuine. Cause I mean, I knew a ton of people who like said that they followed all the stuff, but I knew in the back, like, you know, like they didn't actually follow the For Strength of Youth. They didn't actually, like, you know, they were doing all the bad stuff everybody else was, but she was living that way. And I couldn't refute that, you know, because I couldn't refute how happy she was. I couldn't refute any of that. And so I started to get back on the path because of how happy and blessed this girl was. Yeah, we're actually still friends to this day.
Wow. I like that, and I actually want to thank you for that, because that does that, as you were saying that, it was reminding me of, you know, I guess some of the main reasons I decided to join the LDS Church was because I did notice that with those that were genuine, right?
It's and I mean, like, there's a ton of non-genuine people in the church, but yeah. I feel like a lot of people really do overlook those real genuine people who are just, you know, like, you know that, like, they're filled with like the love of Christ, you know, and they really do like impact other people in a big way.
Yeah, no, and I've seen that for sure, and it's interesting. I mean, I live in Utah, so I've never been able to actually. I mean, I've been around though. I've lived in different states in different parts of the country, and I remember when I first ran into a guy, he wasn't even Mormon, but he was like part of the Reformed community of, or the RLDS church, you know? And I was like, dude, this guy's full of light. Like, it's insane. And I could tell he was a true follower of Christ.
Oh yeah. And I've met tons of people like that who aren't members as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out.
But no, it is interesting though. Cause I don't think I've actually really met too many people. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I haven't really met that many people who are actually genuinely happy, you know, they're content, but I'm not, you know, there's not that extra little thing about them, but that's just my bias, because I haven't observed that yet. In non-Christian folk, which I hope that changes, I just personally haven't seen it yet. So going on then, when you decided to go on your mission, had your dad feel about that? Have you guys ever had any conversation where you just had a heart to heart and he's just like, son, you're doing the right thing, or was it kind of against that?
Yeah, we've had a couple heart to hearts before I went on my mission. I think he was kind of reluctant to, like, reluctantly, like, okay, like, if it's really what you want to do, then go. But I mean, like I said, I think that he really wanted me to experience the world a different way. Like I said, he wanted me to join the Peace Corps or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Like, at that point, I really felt like I had a testimony and I really wanted to go. And so I did. And when I came home, Actually, it's kind of funny. the day that I went into the MTC, I actually saw on Facebook he had posted an anti-church article on his Facebook page. I mean, not that that bothers me or anything. I just thought it was kind of funny. But I came home and I ended up seeing him like 2 weeks after I'd been home. I went up to, so he lives in New York now, and I flew out to New York and spent some time with him. And we did have a heart to heart. I just kind of let him know. I was like, Dad, I know that you're probably a little bit nervous because I'm a returned missionary and all this other stuff, but I just want you to know that I love you and I'm not planning on letting our relationship go anywhere, and I want to continue to have one. And I really feel like my mission, helped me to, I don't know, I guess understand that life is not black and white, and that there's difficult decisions that you have to make. I mean, I understand that even more now than I did then, but I think it was just good for him to hear that from me. And I just remember, yeah, like it was kind of the moment when we stopped arguing, and we just kind of realized that we could just have kind of a truce, agree to disagree, and we could have a relationship, even though our belief systems are so different.
Yeah, that's good. And what about your stepdad, your dad's partner? Was he supportive too, or was he did he kind of just mind his own business?
I don't talk to him as much. So his partner is deaf. I
Oh,
don't
no way.
speak ASL. So, well, I guess you don't speak ASL, you sign ASL, but
Yeah.
he did get cochlear implants. He does struggle still a little bit to understand and speak, but I don't know, he's still wonderful. But I feel like he was supportive. But like I said, I didn't really talk to him as much. Just because phone calls are kind of hard. So if you've got cochlear implants,
Yeah.
talking face to face can be a little bit easier. But like talking over the phone is harder. And I didn't have like an iPhone back then.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to face. So like now I can FaceTime him and it's great. But back then it was a little bit harder.
Yeah, and I was gonna ask, so do you see, I mean, do you see your stepdad on both sides as like your parent then?
Yeah, I would
Yeah.
say so.
So, like going over to your dad, from your stepdad, did you feel that love from him that like, oh yeah, I care about you. Come over here, little David, and let me
Yeah, no, all
hug you
three
and
of
all that.
them. Yeah, all three of them, I think. Specifically, my mom's husband. I remember one time, so I was walking out of young men's, and my young men's leader, he was like, I just want to tell you, he's like, the other day, he's like, I was with your dad, and he's like, you walked through the house and he just kind of teared up, and he said, he's like, that son may not, like that boy might not be like of my own flesh and blood, but I love him the same as I do any of my other kids. And he just wanted to tell me about that moment because he said it was pretty tender, and I
Dang,
so it
that's
meant a
sweet.
lot to me as a kid. And yeah, no, I totally lucked out with step parents. Both of them are excellent men, and I love them a lot, and they've been excellent examples to me.
And that's great to hear. And it's cool that they I guess your parents intermingled in some way or another and were like that. How did it go when it came to your wedding though? I mean, because getting married to the temple, they can't go in, so like how
Oh
did that
man.
play out?
So my wedding was a little bit rough. So we had our reception first, and then we got married the next day. So we got sealed in the temple. We just did that because we wanted to just be able to leave right after we were sealed. I totally recommend that way, by the way. It's awesome. but what, so my dad came, and as did his husband, so my stepdad, and my mom and my stepdad were there, and they were getting along fine until probably the reception started. And it was because of some things that, I kind of feel like there were some insensitivities from maybe, or perceived insensitivities from some people who came, as well as maybe an insensitivity from something else. So there were three things that bugged him. Number one, we didn't have a line. My wife and I, we just walked around the entire night, and we just kind of talked to people as they came in because we didn't want it to be a traditional reception, which I think bugged him because they wanted to kind of stand and be recognized as parents, which is a big deal. You know, because not a whole lot of gay couples have like children at this point. And so I think that they wanted to have that recognition. And that's something that I just didn't understand at the time. And then number two was, so there was like a slideshow or something that my sister-in-law put together of like kid pictures of me and my wife. And I guess they were bugged because, so my sister-in-law didn't think to contact my dad to get photos from them as well. She only contacted my mom because, you know, yeah, it's the person who lives in the same state. And I, you know, so we weren't even involved with that production or how it got made. I haven't even seen it, to be honest. But he was kind of bugged because they weren't in any of the photos. My parents, so like my mom and my stepdad, were only in like one or two, but it was still enough to kind of, you know, be like, oh, am I erased from his life? And number three was somebody at the reception. So I guess there was like kind of a group of people who walked up to them and they said, so, which one of you is David's father? And they were like, we both are. Like, no, oh, well, which one of you is like, which one of you raised Dave? Like, we both did. And so then she asked, which one of you is Dave's sperm donor? And I mean, like, I know who asked it. And, you know, she's just kind of a blunt lady. And yeah, you just kind of have to appreciate that. But it definitely, they don't know her, and it came across very insensitive.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was just kind of, it was rough. And they ended up leaving the reception early, and then we had like a luncheon after our sealing, and they didn't come to that. And I actually didn't know that they were going to come. They weren't going to come until we got there after we had gotten sealed. And so I got there and I was like, where's dad? And I asked my sister, and she was like, he didn't tell you? And I was like, oh no. But we've since made up and everything's okay. I mean, that was a couple of years ago, and you know, he came to visit and he apologized for, you know, any feelings that, you know, he might, how do I put this? Any bad feelings he may have left us. And then, you know, we apologized for any insensitivities that we may have had. And so, you know, I've tried to look at it kind of from his perspective to kind of understand why he is offended, instead of just being like, oh, you shouldn't have been offended, you know? And I mean, like,
yeah,
sure, maybe that's something that I could think, but it doesn't really help the relationship, you know? And yeah, so I've decided I want to have that relationship with them. And so it's just really important to validate those feelings.
Well, I mean, and that makes sense when you put yourself in their shoes and thinking about that. I mean, nobody would want to be showing up to their kid's wedding and not be acknowledged, you know? And
yeah. And I get that.
Yeah. So I would, I can see that. And actually, that for me, that helps me try to consider being more sensitive. Now I feel bad for some of my language earlier.
No, you're okay. I get that. And I mean, like, it's one of those things I feel like members and non-members alike are still trying to understand. I don't know, like the LGBT community. And I mean, like, while I don't really feel like I'm a part of it, simply because of, you know, my beliefs and things like that, I do think that there would be a great deal of like headache and heartache that would be remedied if people would just listen and try to understand from their perspective.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I'm personally just in an interesting phase right now, trying to look at things more objectively. And so I got to ask, like, with, I mean, you've been home now for a couple of years, you're married, with, and especially with social media nowadays, and, you know, I'm not trying to ask anything political, but like, how do you move forward in your faith being, or going about as a true believer, knowing that, like, in our scriptures, in our doctrines, it is taught that people like your father, you know, they're not allowed to enter that higher state of glory. Like, do you cave into your, are you more nuanced? Do you not fully believe, or are you fully committed member of the church?
I'd say I'm a fully committed member, but I think that a lot of people, they feel like, you know, they need to tell their beliefs to the LGBT people every time they see them. And so, like, you know, like, for example, I know people who they have, like, and we can even forget about the LGBT community for a minute, like just people who are like cohabitating, for example. They'll go visit their parents, and their parents, like, you know, they'll sit them down and they'll be like, you know, we really love you, but the way you're living isn't okay, and you're going to hell, you know, like, yeah. that's never okay. And so, like, I don't really see myself doing that. I mean, I don't believe that gay people are going to go to hell. I mean, I definitely understand that in order to get into the celestial kingdom, there's like certain things that you're going to have to go to. I mean, I don't really feel like I'm qualified to say whether or not they can get there. I mean, you know, I'm not like a scholar or anything on that. But what I can say is, you know, if I was going to have anything change in the church, it would be procedural. And it's very similar to kind of some of the changes that have been made in the Catholic Church recently. It bugs me that people get excommunicated or get through a disciplinary council when they're trying to go through the repentance process. So, like, let's say you sleep with a girl outside of marriage, you know, or you're gay and you sleep with a guy, you know, and so you go and you tell your bishop, and he's like, okay, like, you know, I get that. That's really hard. I'm glad you came and talked to me. And usually, like, the first time they're going to try to help you. But if you slip up again, a lot of times you just go straight to a disciplinary council and you can get excommunicated or disfellowshipped.
Right.
But in the Catholic Church, the only reason why people really get excommunicated nowadays is apostasy or like murder, you know? And so I think that it would be beneficial if people were allowed, like people who are cohabitating, people who are gay, whatever, you know, if they could just come to church and be there and be able to take the sacrament, and be able to be a part of it, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not perfect, but they're trying to be better. And they're trying to follow Christ, and they know that there's an aspect of their life that they're not living correctly, but that's okay because everybody has that, right? And so, like when it comes to the Catholics, I mean, like, you know, LGBT people can't hold the priesthood or serve in like official church positions in the Catholic Church. And I mean, I think that's a little bit more along the lines of how the church could differentiate between that. Like if you're, you know, if you've been like, you know, living with your boyfriend or you've been doing something like that, and that's not just for LGBT people, that's for anybody.
For anybody, right?
I could see it being a little bit more beneficial to helping people want to stay in the church and wanting to stay better, like, you know, becoming better people.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. Something needs to change, right? Because, yeah, you're right. If I go in and I talk to my bishop and I say, hey, look, I did this. I mean, I've had enough experiences with bishops. I know, like, you know what, I bet I might as well just keep like doing what I'm doing. And when I'm actually ready to change, I'll go talk to him because I don't want to get excommunicated. But that doesn't really help either, because what'll happen is you just keep degenerating, doing more and more and more things. So eventually you're just like, I can't get out even if I wanted to, you know, I'm too
Yeah. And
off.
That's totally what happens. You know, like people, they don't trust the repentance process because they're not sure if they're ready to change entirely all at once. And I mean, I think that's like a scary thought. I mean, it was a scary thought for me. I've had to go to the bishop. I had to, you know, wait to go on my mission.
Yeah.
And it was scary. It was hard. And I mean, like, you know, I totally understand why people have that apprehension. And I feel like, and I mean, maybe you'd have people who don't repent as quickly, and you have people who, you know, get off with, you know, a slap of the wrist more often. But at the same time, I think that it's better to have more people trusting the repentance process and trying to become better people than it is to just pretend like there aren't people like that who are struggling in the back, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So going back to your belief though, then outside of that, do you feel like, I mean, so do none of these things then affect you sometimes? Like, I know they did that. Yeah.
I don't think that they affect me. I know that my dad's a really good person, and I know that his husband is a really good person. And I know that God is a perfect arbiter of justice and mercy. And I mean, every kingdom of glory is a kingdom of glory. And I don't know where they're going to end up, but I pray for them and I love them. And I hold fast to the belief that God is going to be fair with them.
And that's,
and I think that a lot of people, like, you know, especially like leaders of the church at times have been like, oh, well, somebody who commits this sin, they're going to go to this kingdom, and somebody who commits this sin is going to go to this kingdom. But scripturally, there's just not a whole lot of discussion there. And I like to think that there's a little bit more nuance there. And I do really believe that Christ and God are going to be more merciful than a lot of people think.
Yeah. And it's interesting because some hardcore believer listening to this, which I doubt somebody that's close-minded would be listening to this podcast, but they would probably disagree with you. But then again, their thought of who's going to hell is no more speculation than your thought of who's going to heaven, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm not saying that they're going to make it to the celestial kingdom, but I mean, like, you know, I do think sometimes that we focus on it's the celestial kingdom or nothing, and God has prepared a kingdom of glory for each of his children. And I mean, like, by all means, I still recommend that people, like, you know, do their best and strive to be their best to get everything that God's prepared for them. But I don't worry about my dad burning in hell because I know that's not the God that I believe in. And that's not the God that we as LDS people believe in. I mean, you know, somebody's not getting cast into outer darkness because they are gay, you know?
Yeah.
And so
true.
It bothers me that it's as much of a talking point as it is to some. I'd even call them more like Orthodox members.
It's like an irrelevant part, but I mean, that's how society works right now. They get offended for people on their behalf, you know, too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's just society's interesting in that way.
It is.
And that being said, I know you've got to go here soon. What are some things that we haven't covered that you would like to have covered in regards to how you grew up with gay parents?
I mean, I think that if I was gonna like close with anything, I really think that me growing up, having been in this situation, especially before like a lot of other people have grown up with LGBT family members, or I guess that they just knew that they were, because you know it's a little bit more comfortable to come out of the closet these days. I guess that my only thing is just to say, like, you know, you don't need to, like, just love them, honestly. Like, just appreciate them for who they are as people and try to support them in the good things that they do. And don't feel like you need to elaborate your beliefs every single time you talk to them, because they already know. I mean, if they know you and they know that you're LDS, know that you have a temple recommend, they know your stance on gay marriage. They know your stance on the LGBT movement. But if you can just love them as people and you can support them in the things that they do and appreciate the happy things that they have in their lives, you know, I think that's a good thing. And I mean, I think that a lot of people, they look at like gay marriages, for example, like, well, I can't go to, like, you know, my son's wedding or my brother's wedding or something like that, because that would show that I support gay marriage. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, if I had a Buddhist friend and they were doing a traditional Buddhist wedding, I'd go and support him, even though maybe I don't necessarily support the Buddhist religion.
Yeah,
I support my friend, you know? And I think that as time goes on, that'll be more the stance that people will start to take. But I'm just, you know, I try to just be there for the people that I know, because I know that's a really hard discussion that a lot of LDS families are going through right now. And it's really hard because the way that you initially react to it can be the deciding factor is whether or not you're going to have a relationship. But it's a very, I'd say, difficult issue for a lot of the members of the church to navigate. But I really don't think that it needs to be. I think that it's easy to love people. And I think that we should make that very clear, you know?
Yeah, no, and that is a great note to end on, because that does highlight the good side of just respecting and, like your bishop said, honoring your parents.
Yeah, you know, don't cut those people out of your life. They definitely should be there. And I mean, I'm, again, not saying that you need to keep a toxic person in your life or something like that. Like, you know, if your dad did something unspeakable to you, then by all means, like, drop him like a rock, you know. But if that's not the case, then you should try to find a way to love them, because that's what Christ would do.
And you're right there, David. So with that, I guess we're gonna end the podcast here. And unless you have anything else to say, we'll end it at that.
I don't think so. Well, right, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I hope that it continues to go well. I like that you're having kind of nuanced discussions from a lot of people from different backgrounds. I think that it'll be good to listen to more.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you willing to give your time on it. And it's been great. So I hope you have a good day.
Hey, you too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.